Close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I need your ears.
I need your ears.
Instead of my own.
Instead of my own.
I need your eyes.
I need your eyes.
Instead of my own.
Instead of my own.
I need your heart.
I need your heart.
And your spirit.
And your spirit.
To perceive this word.
To perceive this word.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm going to take you on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going on a short trip. And in the NIV, it's preceded by the word, verse 31. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then there's a big love. And it says, and now I will show you the more excellent way. So if you look at all the different parts of the body, the different aspects of the gifts of the Spirit, there is a higher way yet. And if you and I start to hunger for the desire, we will definitely be transformed when we fall in love. And it's not with the most handsome guy down the street or the most gorgeous girl down the street. It's the Holy Ghost. I know you're one of those teenagers, and it'll never leave you, and I never want it to leave you. But, the Holy Ghost is saying, I will show you a more excellent way. The gifts are a wonderful gift. They're a wonderful opportunity to grow and mature. But, he says, 13, verse 1, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all my mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I have nothing. So you see, without the gift of love, none of these other things have any value. Verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. If I don't have love, there is no progress. Now, most of you have already tasted this, but there were a few, because I said to the Lord, I've taught on this many times before. He says, yeah, but they need to go deeper. So I'm going to be asking you now to just kind of take a breath and close your eyes. You can hold your Bible, but you need to have your eyes closed. And I want you to declare your first name every time I say the word love. So you could say me or myself or I. See, it says love is patient, so I'm going to say Kim is patient. Try it.
Mary Jo is patient.
Love is kind. Now, I am kind.
I am kind.
I do not envy.
I do not envy.
I do not boast.
I do not boast.
I am not proud.
I am not proud.
I am not rude.
I am not rude.
I am not self-seeking.
I am not self-seeking.
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
I am not easily angered.
I am not easily angered.
I keep no records of wrongs.
I keep no records of wrongs.
I do not delight in evil.
I do not delight in evil.
But I rejoice with the truth.
But
but I rejoice with the truth.
I always protect.
I always protect.
I always trust.
I always trust.
I always hope.
I always hope.
And I always persevere.
And I always persevere.
Therefore, I never fail.
Therefore, I never fail.
Now, how many of you felt totally comfortable through all of those confessions? Put your right hand up in the air.
No.
How many found that there was a squelch when you started to declare something and it just doesn't fit?
Amen.
Put your hand up.
Amen.
See, why doesn't it fit? Because if you're speaking something that isn't totally the truth, there's a discomfort inside. Amen?
Amen.
This afternoon, as I was testing this out on somebody on the phone, they said, I don't like you. And I had them go through the confession of love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it does not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. And I got to a few of these and I said, ouch! Why? Because it doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, that means it's not in there. Well, I never get angry. Oh, yeah, right. I never have a reaction. I don't even keep records of wrongs, even of the truck driver that almost cut me.
Oh, please.
I never hold it against the guy that is just sitting at the lights and it's totally green and I am totally green with envy, right? Well, come on. Or that the young person is combing their hair, brushing their teeth at the lights and it turns green and they are now readjusting their do. There's no reaction in you because you're fully in love with that driver in the front of you.
No, you're right. There is no reaction within us, but the reaction in you is self-evident.
What I can tell you is I'm under construction.
Amen. Amen.
Everyone is.
Uh-huh. But the goal is always look for the more excellent way. So God's been dealing with me with drivers. I've shared this before. But he doesn't quit. The other day, there was one that did the most stupid thing. And I thought, oh my God, Lord have mercy. And as I said those words, I began to feel compassion. And I began to pray in the spirit for that driver. Now that was the beginning of something new.
Amen.
Because the old me would have given him a few signals.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Okay. And I probably would have come, new levels of fire would have developed. And maybe a little steam coming out, you know. So I know I am under construction. However, his spirit doesn't quit. If it isn't done all right, the first, second, third, 101, 1,001, 3,000,001, 3,000,000,001. Do you get the point?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you need to know that it's him within us that is working to perfect. And yes, we will come to a place where it says it's no longer me. Because you see, that's what he was showing me. He said, do you see the difference in your reaction today? Now, it took a lot of years to get here. I had a phone call the other day and somebody asked me, how long have you been able to respond with what you are now capable of doing when somebody injures you? I said, well, learning to turn the other cheek was not comfortable. Okay? learning to keep my foot down so that I wouldn't kick them was also very difficult to learn. Okay? Kicking myself was the next level. And the Lord said, that doesn't work either, because what you're beating up on is my creation. Verse 8 says, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. That could be even the gifts of knowledge and words of knowledge. Verse 9 says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But here's the good news. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Try it on for size. Say verse 10.
Verse 10.
Says very clearly. That perfection is on the way. And when it invests in me,
the fullness of Christ,
the imperfect disappears. It melts away. His fire is working on me and in me. Verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man or a woman, I put childish ways behind me. Now, I see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Who had the vision? Who had the vision of the mirror?
Oh, Linda.
You confirmed the word, right? Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now, my goal is to make sure that we get perfected. And we will not be late, so that when the Holy Spirit is ready to really swallow up the rest of those imperfections in us, we will be ready to operate at His level. And you know, some people think that, oh, well, I can just sit back and I don't need to do anything. And yes, it's correct. You don't need, but you do need to obey the instructions He gives you. They may be weird. They may be odd, wild,
unorthodox.
Yeah. But obey the Holy Spirit to the best of your ability. And when you do, that doesn't mean that you're going to do it all right the first time.
Amen.
What it does mean is that you're in progress. Okay? And as that progression continues, the encouragement of the Lord in your hearts will manifest even more. And you say, well, it took years for him to develop it. The scripture also says that the times are accelerating. The times are accelerating. What it took you or others 20 years to learn, they're going to learn it in 3 or 4. What it may have taken 30 or 40 for someone else, the anointing is going to break the yoke. And when that anointing comes, the perfection will come. And it says, the harvester will overtake the reaper. In other words, it's going to be coming so fast. My wife and I were discussing our new little granddaughter. She's 4 months now.
Oh, wow.
Okay? 4 months. She was not 24 hours old and she was talking to us. I mean, literally, in the baby's tiny plastic box that they put them in.
Yeah.
My wife picked her up. And she wasn't 24 hours. She was born at 10-something, and this was like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the next afternoon. Okay? And my wife said, oh, come and see your meme. And all of a sudden, her little mouth perked up. And my wife, we both had goosebumps. I said, my God, she's talking to us. Well, she's 4 months old now. So Grandpa was on the job last Saturday night. Because Saturday afternoon, there was a wedding going on and the parents were gone. So I was the official babysitter for about 2 hours. And I decided to test and see what kind of sonship that we have in this young woman. So I was alone with her. And I had her in my arms and she was full of breast, you know, nice milk. And she was very comfy. And I decided to talk to her in tongues. She knows my language.
All right now.
She hasn't gone from the heavens very long. She's only 4 months on this realm. So you see, her ability to talk to me back was just so exciting because she would literally mouth different syllables and I got very excited. Why? She's a son being developed. She will develop at the rate that God chooses for this generation. And remember, maybe your children or grandchildren or nephews or nieces are different than you. They're designed by God to be different than you. The next generation that's coming is going to be even more exciting than the one we have now. So get ready for new things from the little ones. Get ready for new things from the little ones. Because the scripture also says that even the children will lay hands on the sick and they will recover.
Amen.
That's right. That's right.
Okay?
Amen.
I remember one time at Grace Church, we had a 4-year-old. And this lady couldn't walk. And she was sitting like my friend there. Her knees were completely warped. And the 4-year-old went over, laid hands, and the Lord did the work. And that lady didn't stop crying for hours. Why? Because the contortions gave way to the power of the spoken word coming out of the child. It happened to be the grandmother of the boy. The grandmother didn't touch the ground for quite a while. What am I telling you? That was a forecast. That was a forecast of what he's capable of doing and what he wants to do. Why am I telling you this? Because you're not always going to learn the fruits of your obedience right away when it happens. You may learn it 5 years down the road. You may learn it 10 years down the road. All I can tell you is obedience. Sunday morning when the young man that took care of my mother, he's a registered nurse. He showed up Sunday morning. And he'd been on my heart. And he said that he had had quite a bit of thought patterns of coming back because he had been here 3 years ago. But God put us on his heart. It wasn't done by man. It wasn't done by a phone call. It was done by the Holy Spirit. Now bow your head. Say, not by might.
Not by power.
But by the Holy Spirit.
This love
that I need
will manifest through me
and the areas that need to be developed.
I give them over to you, Lord.
Some of those areas are too big for me.
I've tried to do it on my own.
Some of which I failed.
Whichever area
is predominant
and needs it the most,
please go to work
in a very compassionate way
to get me healed
and to get me full of love.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.